Welcome to New York Zen Center for Contemplative Care's podcast. This free podcast is made possible through your generosity. Please consider making a donation through our Ways to Give link on zencare.org.
Today's the first day. For some of us, this is the first day of a 90-day practice period that we've decided to commit to. For some of us, this might be the first time we've ever been on a retreat. For all of us, this is the first time we've ever been together as a group. For me, this practice is learning how to be together and how to fully participate in the world. And we have this very strange practice of Zen with lots of rituals, and you do everything a certain way. When you get up from your seat, smooth your cushion so it looks nice, so that you take care of it, so the next time you sit down on it, it's prepared. We chant together, we walk together, keep our eyes down. We have the opportunity to be receptive and vulnerable with each other. So Zen practice for me is the most vulnerable, because there's nothing to do, and famously, nowhere to go. So you can close your eyes and imagine you're somewhere else, even while I'm giving this talk. Go off into a dream. And yet we have this opportunity to actually look at our life intimately. So in Zazen, we keep our eyes open and we focus on what is right in front of us. What is here? It might be the most devastating grief that you can imagine. It might be a joy, a celebration, a tenderness. We don't know. The more that I do this practice, the less I know. The expectations are so seemingly foolish. Dear Bernie Glassman had a stroke. Our teacher's teacher's teacher. And someone said, how could that be? Well, we're so human. All of us will, at some point, get older, get sick and die. Dogen said in 1245, when he was beginning a practice period like ours, he said, during each practice period, make each moment the top of your head. You could even say this retreat. Don't regard anything as a beginning. Don't regard it as going beyond anything. What would that be like? Even if you see it as a beginning, kick it away. Even if you see it as going beyond, stomp on it. Then you are not bound by beginning and going beyond. would that be like to allow yourself to not begin anything and try to get beyond anything, but actually inhabit yourself and fully give and receive? One of my favorite parts of practice is meeting with my teacher. And I used to be scared of meeting with teachers, because actually you have to just go in and just show up. And I used to think of a lot of reasons not to. Oh, my meditation's so profound, or I don't know what to say. How do we allow ourselves to not go beyond and not go into waiting for a beginning of something? How can we just show up? To me, this is an eternal question that never gets solved or answered. But how am I hesitating? And how am I holding back? I'm really good at making up stories about why not to do things. Perhaps some of you are too. In particular, around practice, I can think of like lots of good reasons not to sit or participate. In the evenings, we're going to chant one of the oldest Buddhist chants called the Gate of Sweet Nectar. And one line of it says, being one with the inconceivable body. We could just stop there. What would it be like to practice being one with the inconceivable body? Let the nectar of the Dharma spring forth. Can we allow the nectar of the Dharma to spring forth moment by moment? That's one of my intentions for this retreat. See if I can get a little bit out of the way of my boring habits and my boring opinions that I know so well. So we have tons of things to irritate you. A rigorous schedule, lots of ritual that means nothing in itself, but a way to see your mind. Chanting, oh, I don't like that. We're bowing. We're going to be doing lots of things. And I just invite you just to see, where can you allow the nectar of Dharma to spring forth? And where do you say, ugh? And get curious about that. What would it be like not to have a right way? And perhaps even try on a new way. In our study text for this practice period, Dogen says, practicing Zazen in an upright posture is just the true gate. Being upright in your body and mind is the true gate. The gate into what? I always wonder, where am I not really being upright? Where am I kind of slouching or overextending? Where am I just making up lots of shitty stories about myself, others, whatever is your favorite. Can you let it go? Which I just mean, open your hand. Under his teacher, Dogen realized his great awakening, where it just means that he shifted after he realized it's all about casting off body and mind. And tears streamed down his face as he heard the other practitioners chanting the verse of the Kesa, which he had never heard before. And it's a chant we'll be doing each morning. Chant about everything here. But there's something about when you actually allow the chant to enter you, when I allow my life to enter me, something happens. I shift. From this experience that Dogen had with his teacher, Rujing, this inspired the most famous section of his teaching in the Genjo Koan, to study the way is to study the self. You got to know your shit. There's no way around it. You have to uncover your bullshit. He said, to study the self is then to forget the self. We have to really know our stuff, moment by moment, so that we can open our hand of thought, so that we don't have to cling to, I'm that way, that's me. I like that, I don't like that. I want you to feel this way about me. And to allow that is to forget the self, is to be enlightened by all things of the universe. All things in this room and everything that's not in this room. To be receptive and awakened by all things of the universe is to cast off the body and mind of our own self and the world. So many people I talk to are waiting and waiting and waiting for the big moment. Big connection, the big awakening. I love Soto Zen practice here because it's completely uninterested in that. Here in this practice, we're particularly interested in moment by moment activity. How are you functioning? How are you free? How are you in prison? In Dogen's death poem, he wrote right before he died, he said, quivering leap smashes a billion worlds. The entire body looks for nothing. Living, I plunge into the springs. How many of us are allowing ourselves just to plunge into the springs of life? That's what I'm going to go for. We have so little time at this retreat. It's almost heartbreaking. I'm sure there'll be moments during Zazen you'll say, I can't wait to get out of here. This is hell. But how do you enter your life when you're creating the hell? How do you use this retreat to enter your life here, now? It's so precious. Our lives are go so quickly. I was talking with a Sangha member who's dying, and he was talking about how extraordinary it is that he thought he'd be dying quicker, and now he's dying more slowly. And now other people in his family are actually dying quickly, and he's taking care of them. How ironic, he said. When I thought I was going to need them to take care of me. But now it actually turns out that it's me who's taking care of them. How do we use this time in this life to be one with the inconceivable? Let the nectar of the Dharma spring forth. Let it. Will you? This is our opportunity.
New York Zen Center for Contemplative Care is currently offering our Commit to Sit program, a 90-day self-commitment to sit and practice every day. This program is generously sponsored by Gayam. See zencare.org for details.